Thank you to this band who comes every week and plays for us countless hours of. They're here Sunday mornings, both services, so thank you to the band. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. As y'all are finding out, I want to give you kind of a what's going on out at Oakwood. On October the 23rd, we are going to be having a dinner and a movie out there. We're going to be showing Overcomers, so if you like the movie Overcomers or have never seen it, you're more than welcome to come out there and fellowship. What this is going to do, it's going to be a big push for our Sunday morning services. Not Sunday morning, our Sunday evening services. We're going to start a church service on November the 7th. So y'all be praying about that for us. We're going to have it from 5 to 6 out there. So we're very excited. We need y'all's prayers, please. Far as the Bible studies go, they're going great. We're able to meet on the inside now, which is huge. Averaging probably anywhere from 13 to 19 people every time. Last week we were actually down, had a new couple come. We started handing out welcoming bags. People that have been there, people that have been there for a certain amount of time. So we went and gave them a welcome bag. The couple that came was ones that we gave the welcome bag to. So that's pretty cool stuff going on out at Oakwood. We're very busy. And I'm going to drink some water before I choke. Lots of stuff going on out at Oakwood. We'd love to have y'all come and join us. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 9, we got one verse, but it is full of stuff. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And it says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Father, this is the day you created. Father, the day we set aside to bring you glory. Father, it's our desire that we meet with you. Father, we're not here by accident. We're not here by calls or whatever. Father, I pray that you would meet with us right now. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move up and down these aisles, convict hearts. Father, I pray that you would remove Jamie Rowe out of the way and hide me behind that rugged cross. As we just sang about, Father, you're a good, good Father, and we need you right now. And we ask you, God, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. We ask this in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, and by the way, I've got 9 pages of notes. 9 pages. Have no fear. Look at the font on that thing. I could give it to Taylor and he could hold it up and I'd still be able to read it. So, yeah. So, one of my favorite games as a child was the game Follow the Leader. The point of the game was to do exactly what the leader did. We had this treehouse that my dad built. My brother was leader. Hang with me. Y'all know exactly where this is going. Don't end well for me. So he climbed up this tree, and he jumped off, and he landed beautifully. Okay? So I'm thinking to myself, man, I can do exactly like that. Here's the problem. There was a bush in between me and where my brother landed. So I proceed to jump off. Well, something happened, and I straddled that bush. Man, I was scraped up. When I showed my mom, she ran and she got this thing that's called rubbing alcohol. And she put it on me. And when she put the rubbing alcohol on me, my leg immediately became like flames of fire. Yeah. So it was not good. So I said all that to say this. In this passage, Jesus gives us some instructions to follow him. And if we truly want to follow Jesus, then this is what we have to do. These are the instructions he gives us. Just like in the game, follow the leader. I had to follow Jesus. And yeah, it ended up bad for me. But it doesn't end bad for us. In this passage, he gives us a word. He uses the word desire in mind. And I see that yours says want. A desire is a want for something. What do we desire after, church? As a church, as an individual, what do we desire after? What do we want for? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it wealth? Is it health? What are we desiring after? Maybe it's a lost family member that you've been praying for a long time. Jesus says that if you desire to come after me, you must what first? Deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? If you truly deny yourself, you have to get rid of the junk that is coming between you and God. So my next question to you is this. What is coming in between you and God? Again, is it family, friends? What about a job? What about a secret sin that only you and God know about? You see, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. He gives us this is whenever Moses went up to the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And they are just that. They are commandments. And in verse 3, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." That's a Ten Commandment. That's in the Ten Commandments. Does not matter what it is. But see, a lot of times we make idols on our own. And they're great idols. They are good things. Family can become an idol. Your job can become an idol. Kids can become an idol. I'm a huge sports fan. Sports can become an idol. Anything that takes the place of God. That's why I do not like it when sports is on Sunday. That's God's time. This is God's time. You see, Paul understood what it meant to deny yourself. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he said, "But what things were gained to me, these things I counted loss for who? For Christ." He said, "I count these things loss." He said, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. These things he said, these things are gone. My focus is Christ alone. Oh, to have the mindset of Paul. You see, it's dying to ourselves daily. It's crucifying our flesh daily. The second point he says in this passage is to what? Take up your cross. What you have to understand is during the biblical days, the cross was used for death. Mark chapter 8, verse 35 says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." Jesus is trying to drive home a point here. Will you follow me even if it means death? Even if it means death, will you come after me? Jesus' 12 disciples, all but maybe a couple, were killed for their faith. And here's some of them. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was scourged and tied to a cross. John the Revelator was on the island of Patmos. And Philip was hung. Folks, this is just a few of them. If these 12 men who followed Jesus were killed for their faith, then what makes you think that we won't be or shouldn't be? You know the problem is a lot of people don't know that we're Christians because we're too silent. People don't know that we're Christian. Here's a test for you. If you are brought to court today and the judge says that I'm sentencing you because you're a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? Do people know that you're a Christian? These men put their lives on the line for the sake of Christ. And yet we can't even get up and show up for an hour and come to God's house. Shame on us. And lastly, he says this. To what? Follow me. Y'all know how the song goes, and I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing. You know, I was telling the first service that, you know, I think I sound just like the band. You know, I sound, whenever I'm sitting right there beside my wife, I sound just like Taylor or Bo or, you know, I sound, but my daughter goes, "There's no way. You sound absolutely nowhere like him." But we know how the song goes. And I'm not going to sing it, I promise. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Let me ask you, church, is this really your prayer? Or do you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you here and here and here, except here, here, and here. I'll do this, this, and this." When did we get in the business of telling God where we're going or what we're going to do? Because that's exactly when we get in the business of telling God what we're doing, then we're playing God. Either you're 100% in or you're not. Are you 100% sold out to Jesus? And let me clarify something to you. Not everybody's called to Alaska. Not everybody's called to, like us, Colorado. Not everybody's called to Africa or other places. Everybody listen up though. But if you're a child of God, you are called to do something. We got a couple in our church now that is putting together Operation Christmas Child. How hard is it to go and stuff boxes? It's not very hard. I had a pastor of mine, and he was a great mentor of mine. And he said this over and over and over again, and I got it etched in my brain. And he said, God has every right to intervene in your life at any time to bring him glory. I'm going to say that one more time. God has every right to intervene in your life at any time to bring him glory. You know the problem is, folks, we don't know when God's speaking to us. We don't know God's voice because we're like, well, God would never call me here. Huh, okay. Or God would never do this. The problem is we're comfortable. We're too comfortable sitting here. And God says, I want you out here. So here's some questions for you, church. So what are you going to do? Now, the message that I'm bringing to you, yeah, it's a hard message and I struggled with it. I promise I did. The message that I'm bringing to you is this. It's the cost of discipleship. And yes, there is a cost for discipleship. Next question is this, church, is what is God telling you to do? Last question is this. Are you making excuses about following Jesus? You see, there's a guy, one of my favorite stories in the Bible that kind of brought me to where I am today. And his name is Moses in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 4, we find the account of Moses at the burning bush. And God's telling Moses, look, I want you to take these children of Israel out of Egypt, and you're going to be my person that speaks for me. And Moses goes, Lord, I can't speak. I stutter and I do all these things, and God, I can't do this. Who's that sound like? I was right there. I was making excuses. But if you read on, it says that the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Folks, I don't want the anger of the Lord burning against me. I don't want it. So here's my question to you. Are you making excuses about following Jesus? And where is God placing you next? What is God telling you to do? And I made them excuses. I did. About coming here, about speaking in front of it. God, I can't do this. And not to pat me on the back, because God gets all the glory. That's our biggest fear, is making excuses. And they close, and here it is. I'm going to read the questions again. So what are you going to do? What is God telling you to do? And are you making excuses about following Jesus? Let's pray. Father, you've called each one of us to do a task. It might not be to leave out of Colorado. It might not be to go to Alaska. But God, you've given a task to each one of us. God, and I pray that we'll be obedient to that task. God, I pray for this church, God. I thank you for my pastor, and I thank you for his family, God, for his wife, God. God, I pray a hedge of protection around them, God. Now, God, taking us to that next level, God. God, show us as a church family what we're supposed to do. God, raise up people, God, out of this church to do your work, Father. God, as individuals here, Father, I pray that you'll raise up missionaries out of here, Father. Challenge us, move us, God, where you want us to go. Father, we say, here am I, send me. But God, do we really mean it? Give us that next step, Father. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.